You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please go to realchicago.com.
During our time here at Real Church, we've had all the kids in at times. We've had none of the kids. We've had a mixture. It's been amazing. So do what you got to do. And then adults, we're getting settled in to hear the word of the Lord printed on this page. It's coming at you, 4 pages worth. I'm excited. I don't know if you could tell, I'm a little more excited than usual, because we're in the Christmas season, and that's not an easy season for everybody. For me, it is. I love Christmas. I love everything about it, from the superficial things like gifts and all the food you can eat. It's amazing. Cookies. I love cookies too much. Like, it's bad, but I love it. To the very reason for Christmas, which is obviously God's eternal gift. Because he is love. We just went through the whole book of John this year. We've been studying that gift in amazing ways. And this is kind of the season that it's almost okay to celebrate. Some people get mad when you say Merry Christmas, whatever. Merry Christmas, Facebook land, I don't care. This is a church. Why are you watching if you're offended? Anyway, welcome out there, though. But I'm excited. I love Christmas. I do. I'm one of those people. Let's just jump right into controversy right now. I'm one of those people that will be singing Christmas songs in June, July, January, March. It doesn't matter. I love them. And it's usually not jingle bells, unless it just happened to be stuck in my head. It's the ones that are actually praising and worshiping God. And I'm saying, what's wrong with that? So I might be hitting a couple buttons out there. I don't know. After Thanksgiving. After you eat turkey, then do whatever you want. Even the day after. I don't care. But who cares? We should always be celebrating the birth of Christ, right? So you better not come at me when I start singing those songs. But anyway, we're at a time where it's okay all the time, right? We just did it in worship. It's awesome. Why is it awesome? Because it's a gift. And what I want to do now is, God put down, I think like 8 or 9, 10 verses. Sorry, not even verses, sets of verses to talk about what an amazing gift that we're celebrating. December 25th is the big day, but this whole season, the whole Advent, we're doing those trees to get our hearts and our minds and our hearts and our souls and everything about us ready to worship, not just on the 25th, not just during December, but for the rest of our lives. Why? Because this gift is amazing. This gift is ridiculous. Have you ever gotten a gift that was ridiculous? I know you got a truck. We've actually talked about it in church before. She got a truck one time. If any of you want to give a man, I want a truck. But anyway, whatever. No, but there's gifts that you're like, what? If you got married and your spouse happened to have a lot of money, maybe you got a huge ring and for like months you were just like, what's up, everybody? What's going on? There's just amazing gifts that we can receive, right? Some of them aren't even expensive. There was just a lot of thought, a lot of heart, or maybe it was effort, maybe it was made, I don't know, but you just receive gifts sometimes, and you were like, man, thank you. Thank you. And you're grateful because you know the value, you know it's filled with love. And what my question to you is, as we go through all these verses, I want you to find out, where did my heart get cold, or where does my heart get cold, and I start to take for granted the gift that is so ridiculously amazing and good, and yet I sometimes just push it under the rug. And I forget who is my king that gave me such an incredible gift. See what I'm saying? And so as we go through, don't focus so much. Now, don't get me wrong. It is amazing to focus on the good things that you are resonating with. But I also want you to focus in on, that one actually gets hard. Some of you are going through pain or have gone through pain. Some of you are about to go through pain. And so some of these verses might not be as fun. And so that actually might be the truth that you need to sit in. Some of you have had loss. Maybe you're mourning still. And some of these verses, it gets hard. For me, a migraine is one of the most terrible experiences that I go through occasionally. And some of you go through these a lot. And I hate them. I hate migraines. They're debilitating. I just want to die. But I'm like, no, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. But I hate them. And during those kinds of moments, we get quick to just be like, God, what are you doing? Why don't you just take this headache away? Why don't you just stop it? And it's easy to forget about the amazing gift that we get to hang out with God today and forever. It's just crazy. Pastor Nathan talks sometimes about people that are on their way to Hawaii. We get on a plane and you're going to Hawaii. And if Hawaii is not your place, think of another place. But you are getting on a plane to go to your favorite place on the planet. Who cares if you're sitting next to the biggest, sweatiest guy who's farting? Who cares? Oh, come on, that was kind of funny. Think about going on a plane and you're like the biggest dude and he's still eating chili and it's crazy. Who serves chili on a plane? I don't know. Hopefully not, but maybe it's a new thing on Southwest or something. I don't know. But you can't, stop complaining about the plane ride. You're going to paradise. And let's just pretend not only are you going to your favorite place, but your favorite people are there. People that are family that you love, and the ones that they don't love, they're not there. Don't worry, it's cool. Just kidding. And then like famous people that you want to meet, they're there, and they're waiting to hang out with you. That's ridiculously crazy, right? Well, God is bigger than any famous person on this planet. And we get to hang out. Like, just stop and think of the idea that you get to talk to an immortal being. That's crazy. An invisible God that created the universe and you get to talk to him. Seriously, that's ridiculous. And why? What did you do to deserve it? Nothing. I've been really good this year. Santa's going to bring me stuff. Check the list. I'm on there. And he didn't do nothing. I didn't do anything. Not to deserve the amazing gift of God. Like, nothing. And yet he gave it. Because that's who he is. He is a loving God. Let's not forget that. Not only did he provide the gift, he is the creator of the gift and the giver of the gift. He's all three. That's amazing. As I was preparing this sermon in the course of the last week or so, somebody asked me a question, jumping back in the controversy. Which is more important, Christmas or Easter? Which one's more important, Christmas or Easter? Sounds like a trick question, sir. That's what I said to him. And it kind of is, because it doesn't matter. If Christmas doesn't happen, Easter doesn't happen. If Easter doesn't happen, what's the point of Christmas? They're tied together. So we were going round and round, back and forth on which is more important. And I was like, well, we sing Christmas songs the whole season. And he's like, we sing Easter songs all year. And I was like, oh, touche. That's a good one. But we came up, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This was God's eternal plan the whole time. So whether you pick, and by the way, it's not really December 25th. That's just the day we happened to, that's a whole different discussion. But whatever. But does it matter if we're talking about his birth or his sacrifice, the day that he was resurrected? They're all important. And so what is Christmas? Christmas is a story of salvation set up by the Creator from the beginning of time and will last for eternity. Man, it's an amazing gift. Let's get into scripture real quick. The gift of salvation, Romans 10:9. If you don't know what salvation is, it is this. The gift of salvation. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Other translations, salvation is this, and it repeats the same. Say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Claim him as your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That then you have salvation. And so first, we got to say it. Have you said it? Jesus is my Lord. He's the boss of my life. And if you've said it, do you keep going back to it every day? You believe that God raised him from the dead. That's the gift. Why is that so amazing? Let's keep going. Number two, be thankful for the gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. Why is it too wonderful for words? Well, we got to back up to 2 Corinthians 9:14. The overflowing grace God has given to you. the overflowing grace God has given to you. Let's look at that overflowing grace. In Romans 8, 1 through 4, listen to this. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies of we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving us his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Let's break that down. And by the way, write down Romans 8. It was crushing me this week. Different parts at different times of the week. But write down Romans 8. And then after that, write the Gospels. And then write New Testament and write the Old Testament. Because that's the order that I got crushed all week. So I invite you to get crushed like that too. All of it points to Jesus as the gift, as the way back to God. All of it. Romans 8 just happened to be what he was using to just crush me this week. Just pound me. Hit me in the face. Boom. You don't appreciate this. Bam. Oh, sorry, God. It was a fun week. It actually was really fun. And it was funny because he had gloves. It was super soft. He's hitting me, but it was nice. It felt good somehow. I don't understand how getting hit in the face felt good, but it did. And so let's break down Romans 8, 1 through 4. And I really do encourage you to read Romans 8 this week. And again, look at the places that feel good. Look at the place that you totally like, yes, and then look at the places that are hard or maybe forgotten. Maybe we just kind of push it. We take it for granted. So now there is no condemnation. Stop. There's no condemnation. And so just reflect real quick. Why should you get some condemnation? What have you done? Just look back. And this is not to bring you down, but just look back and go, I can't imagine, because I haven't committed any crimes that deserve the death penalty or a life in jail, but I just want you to imagine if you were convicted and you were supposed to go to jail for the rest of your life, and then you were pardoned for some reason because somebody else said, I'll take their spot in jail. That is just ridiculous. And so it's hard for me to even imagine, but I want you to understand this taking away of condemnation is bigger than that. And maybe you're saying, well, I haven't done anything that bad. You're going to some shaky ground. Shaky ground. And we can talk about that later. So now there is no condemnation. That alone is a gift. The pardoning of what we've done, that alone is a gift for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, stop. We belong to him? We're his kids? Anybody want to get adopted by somebody super rich or famous or something? Wouldn't that be fun? And just all the needs that you can think of are supposedly taken care of? All our worldly needs? Wouldn't that be cool? I want a Porsche. Here you go, Michael. Thank you so much. This is so awesome. We have even more than that in God, right? We really do. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power. Well, let's stop with that. You have the power of the life-giving Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and saved us from all our sins. Like, that's the kind of power that God's like, I want you to use me. I want you to hang out with me and do things that you can't do on your own. That is now accessible to you. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. The power of God that conquers death. God's like, yeah, pray to me. Let's hang out. Let's do stuff. Let's do stuff. God's inviting you to do stuff, to hang out with him, to be part of his family. Miraculous, crazy stuff. Man. Has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. There's a power that's trying to lead you to death, and God has saved you from that. How many times a day or a week or in your lifetime, maybe thought, there's a power seeking after me to destroy me, to lead me to death. And here's the thing, if you haven't thought about that much, That means God's been protecting you more than you know. Isn't that crazy? It's kind of a two-edged sword, because if he's allowed you to suffer a lot and he saved you through that, you can be thankful. If you haven't experienced a lot, you can be thankful that, God, you've been protecting me in ways that you don't protect from other people. Well, how's that fair, Mike? It's not fair. It's not fair. Some of us have suffered more than others in this room, and that's okay. People on this side, be thankful that he's protected you from all these things. Maybe you had the two parents, everything was going well all your life, and you haven't suffered that much. Thank God. It's not fun. I'll just tell you right now. Suffering through cancer with your spouse is not fun. It's not fun. So if you've been saved from that, that's good. But if you have gone through that, she's here. Look at her. She's right there in the fourth row. It's amazing. It's amazing. Stop for a minute, because it is amazing. Amazing. I remember praying to God when we first found out. I said, God, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? We came all the way to Chicago to serve you, and then we find out she has cancer. That sucks, God. And I remember he said, she's not going to die. It's going to be a long road. And it has been. Thank God that she's still here, but we're still suffering. Still suffering, so pray for us. But I praise God that this is just the flight. This is just the flight. We're waiting to go to paradise. And when we forget, because we're suffering that day, it hurts. It hurts. But this is just the flight. We happen to be next to the big farting guy. But paradise, hanging out with God, is amazing. And even through the last couple years in this journey of all the pain, God's been opening up stuff. He's been teaching us stuff. He's been getting us through amazing. It's amazing. So either way, I know it's hard to see sometimes, but God loves you. He loves us. And he's. I don't want to take away thunder from the rest of this sermon. He has a plan for you. You just have to wrestle with that. Is that really true? Yes or no? Wrestle with it. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us. He took care of the cost. Who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. So I encourage you, follow the Spirit. Take the gift and follow the Spirit. Point number one was salvation is a gift. Two, be thankful for the gift. It's so easy to forget, but be thankful for the gift of salvation. And three, believe the sign of salvation. And when I was going through this, I was like, God, shouldn't that be point number one? Start with the sign. Don't go to the gift and then the sign of the gift. He's like, no, put it number three. I was like, okay. Isaiah 7:14, NLT. I should read it. All right then. I love that. That's funny. This is a New Living Translation, so they get a little weird, but he's like, all right then. The Lord himself will give you the sign. Look. There's an exclamation mark, so I should get a little bit louder, but I don't want to scare you. Look. The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So this was written 700 years before Christ, before he was earthly, he was born on earth, right? He was born in the year zero, which is funny to say, but whatever. And 700 BC, somewhere around there, is when Isaiah's talking to all the kings, and he's a prophet of the Lord. And he's saying, all right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look! And so he's really like pointing. Listen to me. The virgin will conceive a child. Now, I don't know if you guys know, have been through health class. That's not how it's supposed to work. Okay? That in and of itself should be like, what? We're so used to scripture. It's like, yeah, of course, the virgin will conceive a child. Of course. No. That's like saying the legless man will run a mile. It's not possible. Some of you guys look, that's not funny. Whatever. I'm just saying, the virgin will give birth to a child. That's what he's saying. That's how you'll know you're being taken care of. That's when you know this is a special moment. And I started researching, are there other virgin births they've kind of talked about? And really, all the other ones are ridiculous. Sorry, Facebook world, if that offends you. They are. They're crazy. There's some crazy ones out there, and I'm not going to go into them. Just know, as a pastor, I'm telling you, they're crazy. Crazy. And they're not even well documented. Like, a lot of them are written several hundred years after the supposed virgin birth happened. Come on, man. This was written 700 years before the birth, and there were witnesses that were there, during Jesus' time. And so, anyway, you just gotta wrestle with, do I really believe in miracles? Do I really believe that God could do this? And that's where you have to start wrestling. If you do, let's keep marching forward. But he's saying, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Why is this so important? Because this is prophecy 700 years before it happens. And so the followers of God have been looking for this person. And by the way, it wasn't just the followers of God, or at least in that time, the Israelites. It wasn't just them. Remember? People from the east come. So God's been telling other people as well. This is not just for a chosen people, but this is for the whole planet. This gift is for everybody. The Bible is miraculous. The Bible is the only book, and I'll say it, and you can challenge me on this if you want to, but the Bible is the only book in the world that gives prophecy over prophecy over prophecy over prophecy over prophecy, and they come true. Now, some are still prophesying for ahead, so those haven't come true. If you don't argue with that, I say yes. But the ones that have come true, it's crazy. And people try to disprove them all the time. And one of the reasons why I believe that Jesus is real is because of the prophecies. And if you don't know, you need to go study them. And ask us on Wednesday night. Well, maybe that will make that part of our plan. If you really want to know. If you want to know more about how real is God and his word, let's study it on Wednesday night. Come. But it's crazy to me that a book is written 700 years before and it comes true. Isn't that awesome? Give me a thumbs up if you think it's awesome. All seven of you. Thank you. Salvation is a gift. Be thankful. Believe in the sign of salvation. Recognize the source of true life. Isaiah 11:1. This is more of Isaiah prophesying. Isaiah 11:1. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. This is more prophecy of how this gift is going to come. And God is furthering his, look, I wrote this in the beginning, planning for this day, and it was going to keep leading up to Jesus. And here's exactly, it's going to come out of a certain family line, King David. And out of that will grow a new shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. I wanted to focus in on bearing fruit. The old branches were not bearing the fruit the way they were supposed to. And so a new branch, a new way had to come up. A new promise, a new salvation, a new covenant is coming. And this is when it comes out. But it's not getting rid of the old root. It's coming out of it. Make sense? And this is the one that bears fruit. This is the one that actually brings eternal life. This is the one, the old ways, it couldn't, Moses' law couldn't save you. The Ten Commandments couldn't save you. It just showed you where you fail, where I fail. And guess what? That's okay. Why? Because of the new root. Because of what Jesus did. To recognize where the source of true life is, and it's from God. God is the one that put all of this together. Point number five, celebrate the fruition of the eternal plan. celebrate the fruition of the eternal plan because God is the one that put it all together and he actually did it. You guys ever come up with plans, amazing plans, and you never do them? I come up with plans all the time. You can ask Pastor Nathan or Jen. I come up with plans all the time. And 1% of them are actually done. Like literally. Probably 1%, maybe less. But celebrate that God not only planned it, but he did it and he did it perfectly. John 1:14 says, so the word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Amen. And who was this word? In John 1:1, it talks about who the word is. The truth. It's all of God encapsulated into words. And then this word was with God, and the word was God. This word was God. So who else fits but Jesus, right? Jesus is part of the Trinity. And he came down to live as a human. So the word became human and made his home among us. Why? Because he was the ultimate gift. He was growing into the ultimate gift, into the ultimate sacrifice. How often do you celebrate it? I forget a lot. Now, if you ever ask me who's Jesus, I could tell you on the spot, but I forget to celebrate it on a daily basis. So let's start doing that. Celebrate. So again, which of these things is going to hit you that you need to work on? For me, this is one of mine. I need to start celebrating. I need to sing even more. All right. Number 6, so salvation is a gift. Be thankful for the gift of salvation. Believe in the sign of salvation. Recognize the source of true life and celebrate the fruition of the eternal plan. And number 6, who is your Savior? Sorry, confess who is your Savior. Confess it. Start saying it. Now, a lot of us in here have confessed the first time to make him our Lord Jesus Christ. But keep confessing it. Keep saying it. And not only that, but tell others. Tell others. Let's see what we're supposed to tell them. Luke 2:11 and Matthew 1:21. Luke 2:11 says, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And she will have a son. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I can't imagine being any of the people in the story around this time. Mary, because I'm a dude, that'd be hard, but still, I'm just saying, like, it'd be hard to understand that what God was about to do. Can you imagine being the virgin who conceived? Like, that's crazy to me. But if I was chosen to have God, it's all crazy to me. It's ridiculous. It's amazing. But she was chosen. That was her role. And that's amazing. And then I think about the shepherds that were just in the field. And shepherds at the time were some of the lowliest people when you talk about, class or, you know, society. They were one of the lowest jobs. And the fact that God said, angels, go tell them about what I'm doing over here. That's cool to me. Why? Because sometimes I feel like I'm the lowest. And for God to pause and say, hey, I'm going to let them know what's going on, it gives me hope that he can let me know, and he has been letting me know, that I'm letting you in on what I'm doing, and I want you to be a part of it. And can you imagine sitting in a field, angels come down, start talking to you, number one, that's crazy. Number two, all of a sudden, heaven opens up, angels start singing. It's crazy. That is amazing, amazing stuff. And we just have to go, God, I really do believe in you, and I really do want to walk with you, and I thank you. I want to celebrate it. And then the main part of the celebration is living your life for him. Singing songs is awesome, Talking about it is awesome, but giving your entire life is truly how you celebrate. I believe it's Romans 12 that talks about offering your bodies a living sacrifice, and this is your spiritual act of worship. That is how you truly celebrate God and worship God. And so, confess who is your Savior and then live it out. And point number 7 is praise God. As we move on in Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest. This is what the angels actually sing. Peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Glory to God in the highest. I don't always treat God like he is the one who has all glory in the highest heaven. I take him for granted. I think we all do. And this season, though, this season, let's change that. Let's praise him in song, in word, in our conversations, in our life. Let's praise him. Yes? Let's praise him. Amen? I'm going to read the rest of Luke, a little bit more of Luke 2. It says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven. Woo! The armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And I want us to catch in that last line. Amazing, miraculous stuff happens. And the shepherds are now, when all the angels leave, it goes back to dark. They're back in the field. But it changed them. And they say, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go. All right, I'm thinking about my junior high kids right now. Every time they score a touchdown, they're playing a little recess football. Let's go! Like, that's what I'm imagining these shepherds are doing. Let's go! But that's the excitement that we should have. Why don't we have that excitement? Why don't we have that excitement of an eighth grade boy who just scored a touchdown? Because I believe this gift is way bigger than a touchdown at recess. And yet, he's way more excited on a daily basis than we are about hanging out with the God who sacrificed his son so that you can have a way back to him. That is a loving God. That is an amazing gift. That's a huge sacrifice. And we need to celebrate that. We need to celebrate that. And so the application is celebrate God and his plan that you get to be a part of. And by the way, you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you want to receive this gift, talk to me afterwards. It's literally just talking to God, asking God, God, I'm hearing about this gift. I do believe you died on the cross and you rose on the third day, and I do want you to be the boss of my life. And you pray that. Talk to me afterwards if you want to do that. But celebrate God and his plan. I'm going to read a little bit more about from Romans 8:18-30. And just listen. Don't try to find it. Because again, you're going to read Romans 8 later, right? Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will be joined God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. Wait patiently and confidently. And this Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them out to come to him. And having called them, he gave them the right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. That was a lot. Let's break a little bit down. If you look at the stuff that we do, we're suffering, we're waiting, we're we long. But then if you look at what God does, let's look at that. The glory, he's going to reveal the glory later. We suffer now. So I'm not trying to minimize anybody's pain. I'm really not. Because it hurts. And it's rough to go through. But it is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. That's a hard truth to wrestle when you're going through the suffering. Amen. But it's the truth. So when I'm going through my migraine or whatever suffering I'm going through, if someone tells me it doesn't feel good, but it still is truth that I should chew on and wrestle with. If that's what you're going through, that this is still a truth that you need to wrestle with. For all creation is waiting. It goes through that. And we believers also groan. So we're groaning, we're longing, we're waiting. But it says we hope for the day when God will give us our full rights. So yeah, we're waiting, we're suffering, but God is going to give us what we're supposed to get. As his adopted children, we get to be adopted by the God of the universe. We get to be brothers and sisters with Jesus. Crazy. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Again, God is doing it. We can't help ourselves in our weakness. Have you tried? Some of us are still trying. The Holy Spirit helps in our weakness. The Holy Spirit prays for us. And the Father, who knows all the hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Because God knew his people in advance, and he chose them. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. How much of that did we do? Nothing. He did it. And because he did it, he's doing this. And because he's doing this, he did it. And because he gave, we get to receive his glory. You get to receive God's glory. I heard one amen. You get to receive God's glory. Amen. And maybe it's hard to say amen because we don't even know what that is yet. And it's hard to imagine that. And that's okay. That is okay. But that doesn't mean it's any less true. I know I gave you a lot of scripture and I went through it really fast. Might have seemed kind of jumbled together in it because that's truly what it was. It was literally a list of scripture that God was like, yeah, go through these. I'm like, okay. And so it's not as nice as, say, a chapter of John that it's all right there in the story. But here's the thing. Jesus, this Christmas story is an incredible gift. That's the truth. And we need to celebrate it, not just in song, but in food and a whole bunch of other ways. But literally, live your life in celebration because of what God has done. It's an incredible gift. Amen? Let's have the worship team come up and let's truly say, God, thank you. Now, if you're having a hard time with that, it's okay not to sing right now and to just receive it. You don't have to put on a fake smile and pretend like you're not suffering. You don't have to do that. That's not what this church is about. This church is about being real. And if you're suffering, just listen to the words and try to focus in on the truth mentally. Your heart will come around. God is waiting. And Chelsea said it perfectly, how he doesn't love us the way we expect and want sometimes. And that hurts. It really does. That does not take away from how incredible the gift was, how loving God is, and the fact that he's been putting us together since the beginning of eternity till the end. And he loves you. Let me say it again. He loves you. Let's stand up and let me pray for you. Pray for all of us. God, you are good. You are amazing. This gift is ridiculous. It is amazing beyond our understanding, and words can't explain. I mean, your word says it's indescribable. Words don't compare with how much love is packed into this gift. Indescribable. And so, God, forgive us that our words come up short, but we thank you. And God, forgive us when we forget. Forgive us when we doubt. Forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. And I thank you for your amazing grace. I thank you for the way back to you. And I pray, God, that you would help us to know you more and more. And through that, God, you fill us and send us out. And God, your word says that there's to be many brothers and sisters. Help us to love them. And God, let us reflect who you are so that they can come to know you, God. And again, I'm so glad it doesn't depend on us. We put it back into your hands. Lord, help us to worship you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.